affiliates head on with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates head on with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's a Friday night. Good times for you guys. 2 days that I got to slog through for me. Saturday, Sunday. I've come to dread them. I truly dread them. This is what I live for. 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., Monday through Friday. Head On with little old me, Bob Kincaid, your nightly confrontation with the facts, ably assisted by my lovely wife, Agnes, at the controls. And whatever it is that you've got on your mind, you're welcome to chime in. You heard the phone number there, 877-443-2366. If it makes it any easier to remember, 877-4-HEAD-ON. Alternatively, you can also reach us at 304-658-3333. And, of course, there's always email, bob@headonradio.com or agnes@headonradio.com. It's simple. It's just simple. So, where to begin tonight? I don't think... Sometimes I worry that we overemphasize certain things on the program, like the fact that 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is occupied by a mass murderer. But how can you... We lost 10 Marines in Fallujah in the last 24 hours. In Fallujah, which we... Didn't we? Weren't we told we pacified Fallujah? We slaughtered the living daylights out of anything that moved or breathed, walked or crawled. There were the stories that came out of Fallujah last year of dogs feasting on human flesh, shot dead in the streets and not allowed to be cleared away. And never mind what that does to Muslim sensibilities about what you do with the dead. Well, it's kind of hard to say never mind that. It matters to them. It's a tradition that goes in the Near East. It's a tradition that goes back thousands of years. Any of you with a mind for classical literature will remember the central plot structure of a play called Antigone, where the dead were left out to rot in the field, and what grief that caused. And what tragedy that caused for the daughter of King Oedipus, Antigone. I believe Muslim law says that bodies have to be buried within 24 hours of death. Isn't that right? So all of that went on a year ago. The white phosphorus that was used, that the military admits they used in Field Artillery magazine, they admitted using white phosphorus indiscriminately. You know, when you're using white phosphorus in an urban area, it's hard for anyone to say, well, you know, it was, we only used the white phosphorus on the insurgents. Because we can't really tell who the insurgents are over there. And they rather like it that way. So we're back in Fallujah again. And we lost 10 Marines. 10 precious lives yesterday. More than that wounded. Now, what's the upshot of this? Well, if you were paying any attention today, and so many of you, you know, I'm talking to Democrats, progressives, liberals, decent people, you do pay attention. And as a consequence, you know that dear leader came out into the Rose Garden today. I don't know if he saw his shadow. It's a little early for that. But he came out into the Rose Garden today to trumpet the good economic news for the United States. And yammered on at length about, well, you know, the economy is just, it's booming. Ah, it was disgusting to behold. But it's what he didn't say in all of that that matters most. And it took a little while to find out, but Scotty McClellan, slithering, serpentine Scotty McClellan, appeared in front of the assembled Johnny-on-the-spot Washington press corps this afternoon. And he was asked pointedly about whether or not the president knew about these Marine deaths before he came out to the Rose Garden. Here's what he had to say.
When the president came to the Rose Garden this morning about 10:45, at that hour, did the White House already know about this attack on the Marines in Fallujah?
Yes, we did. The president was informed about the loss of the Marines last night and those that were injured, and then he was briefed again this morning.
Now, it might take you a second or two before the real outrage begins to settle in and boil up through the top of your skull and make the ends of your hair feel like they're catching fire. It might take a second or two. But you'll get there. Don't worry, you will. Dear leader showed up in the Rose Garden to trumpet his happy economic news, knowing full well of that horrid, horrid law. Yeah, we're beginning to be a little bit numb, I suppose, in the United States to, well, you know, a dead Marine here, another Marine dead, and, you know, an Army Ranger yesterday. You know, dead. You know, we run about 3 dead soldiers a day. And I don't know about you, but it makes me sick at my guts when I hear that we're losing 10 at a pop. It makes me sick at my guts when I hear that we're losing 1. For no reason whatsoever. Deaths in vain. And the vanity, all is vanity, saith the prophet. The vanity is that of dear leader, not the vanity of our soldiers. So at 10:45, when dear leader showed up in the Rose Garden to talk about the booming American economy, he knew we had lost 10 Marines. But because talking about things that attempt to make... Yeah, you're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. Things that make him look good is more important than talking about the real business of America or just manifesting a little bit of human compassion for 10 shattered American families. No, that wasn't on the plate. He couldn't be bothered, just like he can't be bothered to attend a funeral. He could not be bothered to mention the deaths of 10 of America's best and bravest. It should be enough. Oh, God, it should be plenty to make any human being, any American human being, boil and seethe with rage and disgust for this man who sets himself above us and thinks himself the chief executive. So we've got that to get started with. Believe me, there's plenty more. Let's take a break. Phone number again, 877-4, the number 4. Head on, 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards. But will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. Coming up on 19 minutes after the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob. It's Friday. Hope you guys are having a good time. Get your Friday started. Mine doesn't start until 10 o'clock. But, you know, I'll muddle through. Let's go to the phones. David is with us. Hey, David, you're Head On.
Well, hello, Bob. And absolutely for the very same reasons you're talking about, my political hair is in flame as we speak, because I heard the same sorts of things you did. And when I was reminded by Hoopster, I'm sorry, that's a pejorative term, I should not say that, When Mr. McClellan said the president was informed last night, East Coast time, did I hear that correctly?
That is correct.
So that 10 to 12 hour differential, I've forgotten to count those little time zones between here and Baghdad, but that paid off. And when he tucked himself in last night after, you know, putting the folders in the automatic coffee maker, so the nice first lady would have that warm first cup first thing in the morning. And then when he went to speak to everybody, he knew that 10 of ours had been blown to bits when he wanted to brag for inconsequential changes in mall shopping and gasoline prices.
Stunning, isn't it?
So he knew that, and we couldn't tell that. And all he wanted to talk about was his little spin on the economy that has managed to not die in spite of the poison choked down its throat by a Republican Congress and spending habits exhibited by courageous Americans that continue to think, well, you know, if I just keep doing what I'm doing, you know, maybe all this will pass over. And he's taken advantage of that. He's raped that consumer by hoping they would just continue to act like Americans. But as far as those 10 dead people, 20 wounded, couldn't be bothered, right?
That's it. I'm almost speechless with it, David. It makes me crazy. Can't even mention, can't even offer public condolences. But of course, you know, the entire nation, we now know that he started the war based on lies. We know that he's continuing it based on lies. We know, you know, from reading his little seventh grade book report that they're touting on the White House website, we know that they really still have no plan. They have no idea what in the world is going on here.
He doesn't want to hear it. He just wants to hear from Mommy Dearest, a woman that tells him he's the most important man since Rudolph Valentino and FDR rolled in one. And then there's Condoleezza Rice. Let's not even go there. And I've got to give the American Press Corps one small, oh, my gosh, could you be coming back to life? Did you hear the shouted question that he simply turned and scowled at from a CBS representative?
No, I must have missed that. Fill me in.
As he was walking away from that little press conference, thank you for being here. And then he leaves. A CBS representative shouted the question, Mr. President, what about the U.S. Army and the Pentagon spending $300 million on propaganda to misinform the Iraqi nation?
Ah, the Lincoln Group contract, yes.
Yes, the Lincoln Group. What a disgusting usage of the word Lincoln. Well, anyway, he scowled, he waved, and he kept walking. And, of course, later in the day, Scotty the boy McClellan said, well, we're waiting on the facts. We're very curious about the facts. And once we have the facts, we'll ensure that if anything needs to be done, it will be done. Don't look at the man behind the curtain. The man behind the curtain doesn't matter. I want to walk you and I want to walk the listeners through a little bit of a who am I? And there's more than one answer to this.
Okay.
Who has purchased the services of, and we can wait till the end of the question, who has purchased the services of compliant journalists? Who has purchased the service of compliant printers and publishers? Who has, in great need, I might add, and in fear for their lives, who has purchased the services of news outlets with the threat of bodily harm, with a gun to their head? Who has done that? The U.S. Army, the Pentagon, and Saddam Hussein. Now, before you leap on that, I want to tie that to those 10 brave Americans that were blown apart, and the wingnuts will say, for no reason other than they wanted Iraq to have freedom, there will be this insane painting with the colors of denial that will distract America from the real fact. The Iraqi on the street watched Saddam buy coordinated regime, and even the Americans, us, you and I, our tax money, they see us do exactly what Saddam did by fake news reports to put in front of those people to be sucked up by stupid, ignorant journalists at Fox and given to America as the facts because, well, it ran in an Iraqi newspaper. It must be the truth. We are doing exactly what Saddam said. Oh, yeah, by the way, we had 170-some-odd found in the bottom of a building with holes drilled in their head and whipped with wires and God knows what else.
No, those were dead-enders.
And Saddam did that, too. So it all ties together. The Iraqi trying to find a job, trying to put a kid through school, trying to not get killed, trying to not misinterpret the hand signals of an American at a checkpoint hates us because we look and sound and act and do and be. We are no different than Saddam, except fewer of us have mustaches.
Yeah, same dick, same different day, different what? You know where I'm going. Same dictator, different day, different dictator, same day.
Same song, new verse.
Yeah. Second verse, same as the first. There we go. That's the analogy I was after.
We'll get there. It's just a matter of collaborative effort.
And it's not just David in Nashville saying this. High-ranking members of the Iraqi government are saying it too. You know, we recognize this because we've seen it before. It's what Saddam used to do to us.
Exactly.
But we've got a plan for victory. Now, you mentioned the Lincoln Group and the dummied up newspaper stories, which, of course, frankly, you know, there's all this Monsieur Reynaud from Casablanca business going on in the media. I'm shocked, I tell you, shocked to find that the United States military is planting newspaper stories in Iraq. You know, here are your winnings, sir. There's all of this, my God, these are the people who hired Armstrong Williams.
The Bushes and the Roves and the Norquists and the Bush 41 have hired flunky journalists to tell their lies since day one.
Yeah, and not just that. Remember the revolt that got started in Iraq and put 100,000 insurgents in the streets when we shut down one of those members of the free press that we're so fond of talking about now? Who was that? Sodder, whatever? Unfortunately, we're out of time and got to hit the break, David.
No problem, Bob. Enjoy the rest of the show. I love listening to
you. All right, thanks so much. Take care. Yeah, didn't we do that? I think we did. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Nights in shining karma tend your flame, and with love for armor they'll remain.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help
is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. 26 and a half minutes before the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. You know that. The phone number is, of course, 877, the number 4, Head On. And that's 877-443-2366. Slow down, Bob. Slow down. This ain't a freaking auction. The email is bob@headonradio.com. We've got Jim on the line with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing good. Yourself?
Reasonably well. Working on an aquarium. Just finished it.
Oh, my goodness. How big?
Around 50 gallons.
Oh, my.
And I can tell you, instead of location, 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 it's maintenance, maintenance, maintenance.
You will work.
Yeah. It's pretty labor-intensive.
How are you going to keep the cat out of it?
Oh, well, they don't have to. They don't worry about that. The one that did worry about it, unfortunately, or like to sit on top, he passed away 2 years ago.
Oh.
Speaking of which, there is a marmalade tabby that's taken up here. And if anybody needs the Marmalade Tabby, he's extremely socialized and very affectionate. I wish they'd email you or you could get in contact with me.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, because you've been very good about trying to keep the strays alive.
Well, I've placed 30, and I just can't take any more because, Bob, if you saw my house, it looks like a shop. Okay, I mean, when people come in here, they say, "I just don't know how you get all this stuff in here and live." Anyway, that's just one of my, I guess, idiosyncrasies.
Well, what kind of fish are you going to put in?
Oh, I have goldfish.
Oh, okay.
But you know, getting back to this thing that happened today, I mean, man, you don't have to make derivations on the word Republican to call these people what they are, because these people are calves, these people are cowards, and they're thieves. And, you know, they have trampled on the Constitution that I have so many times sworn to uphold and defend, and they have made of the temple of my government a den of thieves.
Well, they absolutely have. And today was it just seemed so egregious to have dear leader come out and talk about money.
Yeah, 5% unemployment, 5%, and we've got so many jobs and this, that, and the other. And, you know, he didn't say what kind of jobs they were. And I'm not even talking about what happened in Iraq last night that he was fully briefed on this morning or last night when it happened.
Yeah, he knew last night.
Well, I mean, you know, he's talking about how good the economy is going. Well, tell that to the workers in GM and some of these plants in Ford that are closing down. I mean, does he not factor them into his economic equation, if he could even grasp the reality of such?
Well, see, the one thing that most people, if you even take what he said at face value today, Jim, give it a month, because that's always the way it is with the Bush administration. Any economic numbers, in a month, everything that was said today will be revised downward. We've seen it time after time. You know, 200,000 new jobs created. A month later, well, they've been revised by the Department of Labor.
Oh, yeah.
Oops, it was 110.
I mean, you know, I've heard more accurate information come out of the propaganda ministry of Joseph Goebbels during World War II when I've read histories of that period, honestly and truly. I mean, at least he has sense enough to stick with a big lie. This guy doesn't even know how to do that.
So you're right. I mean, what about those 30,000 workers that are going to be laid off at GM? They don't count. And, you know, so it's the Marine thing, and I'm glad you brought that up, Jim, because, yeah, what about those people? I mean, what kind of a slap in the face is it to know that, you know, the job that you've been working for 25 years is going to disappear on you, and this guy comes out in the Rose Garden and tells you that everything is hunky-dory?
Really? I mean, you know, it's just, I was just totally incredulous when I heard this. And, you know, I don't know how in the world, I really don't think that this man has a conscience. I think whatever conscience he may have had, and whatever sense of reality and truthfulness and honesty and goodness has long since died inside him, if there ever was much.
Well, Jim, I think if you get right down to it, and, you know, we know about his misspent youth. We know about his DUI convictions. We know what a heavy drinker he was until he found Jesus at age 40 or so he said. We know all of that, and we know what it does to the brain. And frankly, if you get right down to it, people who have addictive problems, I guess the best way to say it is that cocaine will burn your conscience up.
Well, they have a problem with the truth, okay?
Yeah.
And they have a problem with self-image, they have a problem with self-esteem, and they also have a problem with, you know, being able to have any type of what I consider respect for human life and for human beings. To me, and this is just my opinion, this man is a sociopath.
I don't. You say it's opinion, but you know we've got a friend who's a psychologist down in Texas, Rick Goodner, and he has said much the same thing from his professional opinion. George Bush bears the hallmarks, Jim, of a sociopath.
Well, this man, in my opinion, except for those people who are benefiting him at a certain period of time, does not have the ability to create or form or continue with relationships that will last. I mean, his wife, I mean, the home life of his wife and daughters, I would hate to even think of what that's really like, you know?
Yeah. You know, consider his childhood, and we've talked about this before. As a child, his bosom buddy, who was still a Bush voter but just came out and told the facts, his bosom buddy talks about how when it would rain, they'd catch frogs and stuff M-80s in them and light it and throw it up in the air and watch them blow up. You know, you move forward to the branding episode at Yale. Where white hot wire where wire was bent into the shape of the Greek letter delta.
Yeah, the hazing and stuff.
And they branded the backsides of the Deeks, the Delta Kappa Epsilon pledges, and George Bush was actively involved in that, and he enjoyed it. And it is stair stepped downward. It's a downward staircase. Into just absolute moral depravity. And so now we see a situation where 10 Marines die, and he comes out and he's snickering about 5% unemployment. These are the marks, as you say, of a man who has no conscience.
Well, you know, this business in Fallujah with these 10 Marines, I mean, I thought we had pacified that city a year ago.
Well, we did. That's
even now, the people there, they don't, even when our soldiers go around and are handing out candy and stuff like that, they still remember that, you know, Fallujah has roughly 50,000 buildings in it, I think. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the one of them that's not seriously damaged. They're damaged in some way or another. And their whole way of life has been disrupted. And they don't feel real kindly towards us.
Well, you see, that's one of the problems, and it goes back to what General Eric Shinseki said and got fired for,
yeah,
that it would take a 500,000 soldiers to take and hold Iraq. Now, we did it, we attempted to do it with much, much, much less in terms of American personnel.
Oh, yeah.
So last year we went through, we committed unspeakable atrocities against the city of Fallujah and the civilians therein, and supposedly took it. And then we didn't have the troops to hold it, and now they're centering. We're still taking losses in Fallujah, and the next sore spot, the next brush fire, has already been lit in Ramadi.
Well, you know, these are nothing but beleaguered enclaves of American resistance. That's what they are, and they will be overrun. Let's face it. I mean, The honorable gentleman from Pennsylvania has already stated the condition of Army materiel and, you know, things of that nature. And, you know, we are in a lose-lose situation. There is nothing winnable about this.
Right, and when Dear Leader spoke a couple of days ago at the Naval Academy, he said, I will not stand for anything less than total victory. How can you have victory? You know, this is supposedly a war, right?
You know, there is a scene from Dr. Zhivago, and I'll never forget it, and it's when this old schoolmaster had these young military cadets, these boys in the boys' school, and fighting the Bolsheviks.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, all those boys were just cut down by
right.
the machine gun.
Yeah.
And even, I think it was Yevgraf, Zhivago's brother, he said, "That old bastard," for doing that. And
yeah.
You know, when Bush addresses those young cadets, the midshipmen of Annapolis, he doesn't care if the bloom of their cheeks is extinguished prematurely.
No, they're toys.
All they are is, for him, is just more cannon fodder and more people who are to be wasted and human material that's not even to be even given decent evaluation and consideration.
Yeah, they're not real to him. Other human beings aren't real to him. They're toys.
I have more consideration for stray cats than he does for human beings.
I was about to say the very same thing, Jim. And what happens out of it? What would it take to get the American people in the streets in front of the White House and just tell him no more? It's not going to happen anymore. This will end. Because no one's going to surrender in Iraq. You know, the only victory we're going to have in Iraq is the victory that we declare by artificial means.
Well, I know it. And you think of the people who died since he began this war, both Iraqi and American. What are we talking about, 120,000 people?
The Johns Hopkins study in The Lancet said that of civilians, 100,000 conservatively estimated.
And we've lost 2,000.
We've lost 2,120 last I checked.
Okay.
Horribly maimed and wounded, 20,000.
All right. Well, about just for all the dead civilians and the dead everything, it's just about the whole area. It's just a, what was once the cradle of civilization has now become the valley of death. And, you know, it's 6 pints per man. It's a small ocean.
Yeah, it is.
It's growing greater and greater every day. And, you know, this man needs to be held accountable for what he's done, and they need to hold him accountable for the lives that he has squandered. And as far as I'm concerned, the whole leadership up there, they need to be not only, they need to be tried.
They do.
And they need to be, you know, and meted out the same penalty that they've so freely given to others.
And perhaps a redefinition or a reexamination of the definition of treason. Because what they have done is treason against this country.
Well, I think I feel the same way, and I think it's just, you know, how much will we take?
I don't know.
Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate
thank you,
it.
Jim. I do appreciate it. Great phone call. Best of luck with the aquarium.
Oh, it's done. Thank God. I ordered a pizza, and I'm going to celebrate.
Sounds good. Take Bye-bye. Care. Okay, quick break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Don't even realize what you're doing's killing my soul. Think I'm just some prize you can win and then discard after the thrill is gone. Well, listen, I ain't gonna take it this time.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
We're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
Little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
And awaken the dawn's early light. But much to my surprise, when I opened my eyes, I was a victim of the great compromise.
So it's about 10 minutes before the hour. An email from our FOB, friend of Bob, Nanette. She says, I have to disagree with David. We're not just as bad as Saddam. We are worse. We are the hypocrites. Saddam never claimed to be righteous. Having higher ideals have always been what we were about. Trying to do the right thing. Not anymore. This government spews righteous rhetoric 24/7, but it rings hollow to the ears of the world. Those that listen to Fox are dumbfounded to believe whatever they are told. Thank God that there are more and more people waking up to the truth. Bush is going to have to once again pull some sort of dastardly deed out of his pocket for the small-minded to come running back to his fold. May God forgive us for what we have allowed this country to become, and may God forgive the stupidity of those that continue to support this horrible, horrible agenda. And from our friend Sue on Big Coal River, Bob, the economy's doing great, but GM announced they'd be laying off several thousand and closing several factories. We're winning the war in Iraq. They love us over there. But 10 more Marines were killed today and 11 wounded. Bush needs a new crystal ball. His isn't working right. Maybe it was imported from China along with everything else we buy. Truth. Nothing but truth. And of course, as Jim said, these are conscienceless monsters. Now, I've got another cut from Scott McClellan today. And this is another one that gives keeping dinner down a real run for its money. Listen to how he talks about the Marines who were killed.
We are saddened by the loss of life, whether it's one soldier who loses his or her life or 10 or 11. We are saddened to hear that news. Our heart and prayers go out to the families. Their loved ones paid the ultimate sacrifice for an important cause.
Okay. Did you hear that? Whether it's one Marine or 10 or 11. 22, 61, hut, hut, hut. Eh, what is it? Yeah, it's why. Well, you know, it bums us out. 1, 10, or 11, whatever. Later on, and I was in a hurry, so I didn't get a chance to cut this one out. He calls it, it was a tough day in Iraq. A tough day. No, a tough day. A tough day's when you have a flat on the freeway. Tough day's when your radiator overheats. A tough day is when the bottom falls out of your grocery bag and your eggs bust all over the parking lot. Scotty, baby, this was a tragedy. This was just another tragic day of your boss's making, like all the other tragic days, like the tragic days that have yielded us 2,120 dead Americans cut down with the bloom of youth in their cheeks. Nah, it was a tough day. It was a tough day. And what's worse... part of Scotty's little gaggle was to haul out a guy named Al Hubbard. Now, Al Hubbard is the president's national economic advisor. And Al Hubbard was asked about the deficit. $8.1 trillion, according to the public debt website, as cited by the reporter asking the question. Now, they were very happy today. It was a happy day. Oh, it was rosy news in the Rose Garden. So they thought they'd bring out Al Hubbard. Have a listen to Al.
Well, I guess it really depends on what you're including, but let me again, the president is most concerned about the economy and the budget, and a key component of that, as I've spoken earlier, is the budget deficit. And, you know, that's what contributes to the overall budget debt and the country's debt. And that's why it's so important to reduce the budget deficit and hopefully ultimately eliminate the budget deficit.
Jumping Jodhpur wearing Jehoshaphat. Did you hear that?
I guess it really depends on what you're including, but the president is most concerned about the economy and the budget, and a key component of that, as I've spoken earlier, is the budget deficit. And, you know, that's what contributes to the overall budget debt.
A verb!
And, the country's debt, and that's why it's so important to...
We need a verb!
Reduce the budget deficit and hopefully ultimately eliminate the budget deficit.
Now, the question was, is the president concerned about the deficit? That was the question. Is the president concerned about the $8.1 trillion budget deficit that he freaking created?
Did the guy forget his medication this morning?
I don't know what you're including in that list, medication. If by medication you mean did I take my antipsychotics? It kind of depends on how you can. Of course, the president is concerned when I don't take my antipsychotics, but of course you must understand that antipsychotics they make it a little hard to get around. But antipsychotics are what keep me from seeing the flying pink elephants, and that, of course, is what the president is, after all, focused on.
But he managed to say absolutely nothing.
He said less than nothing, darling. He said less than nothing. Sir, is the president concerned about the $8.1 trillion deficit? Hear it.
Depends on what you're including, but let me again, the president is most concerned about the economy and the budget.
Jesus,
and
I want to start tap dancing.
I've spoken earlier is the
That's
budget
enough.
Deficit.
That's enough. This isn't the... I was going to say it's the game that can't shoot straight, but, I mean, you know, at least Andy let Barney keep the bullet in his pocket. These people need to be taken away from anything that shoots or cuts. They are blithering idiots, and they are caught in the midst of a lie. This is Head On.
Crime Dog here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8th, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating, and the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
It makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
One down, two to go. For this, our first legitimately snowy day here in the hills of wild, wonderful West Virginia, at least this neck of the woods. There's been some elsewhere in the state. Now, so you've got, you heard him. We're paying this guy a bunch of money to stand in front of the mic. Of course, the economy, a verb, Mr. Hubbard. We need a verb. They're lost balls in high grass. And it's not that far different, really. It's not that far different, really, from something that happened a couple of days ago that I've just had laying around in the sound files that you probably need to hear. And this was the discussion at Rummy's press conference. And that press conference had to do with General Peter Pace of the Marine Corps, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, talking about torture. Now, this guy is a blood and guts Marine, but he also, duty, honor, country? They take that honor thing fairly seriously, as opposed to, say, a Bush or a Rummy or a Cheney. So, Peter Pace, General Peter Pace, was talking about his vision of how the military should respond to torture. Check out this exchange, but not between Peter Pace and the press corps. Oh, no. This is an exchange between Peter Pace and Rummy. Check it out.
It is absolutely the responsibility of every U.S. service member, if they see inhumane treatment being conducted, to intervene to stop it.
I don't think you mean they have an obligation to physically stop it. It's to report it.
If they are physically present when inhumane treatment is taking place, or they have an obligation to try to stop it.
You get that? Rummy digs torture so much that he was trying to correct the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Well, you don't mean physically stop it, do you? I mean, that they can report it. They don't have to physically stop it. I mean, they can go on and have their little fun, can't they? You don't want to... I mean, this is what you get from a murderous administration that trades in war crimes. Okay, one more time.
It is absolutely the responsibility of every U.S. service member, if they see inhumane treatment being conducted, to intervene to stop it.
I don't think you mean they have an obligation to physically stop it. It's to report it.
If they are physically present when inhumane treatment is taking place, or they have an obligation to try to stop it.
The nerve of that filthy little Dr. Strangelove wannabe, Rumsfeld, to tell a four-star general of the Marine Corps what he really means. You don't mean they have to physically stop it. Yeah, Rummy, we realize that you're so morally compromised, you sick freak, that if you saw a woman being raped on the street, you'd go and report it, but you wouldn't try to stop it. But yeah, moral America, upstanding America, and America's military has a duty not to participate in torture. Not that that really matters to you, Rum, buddy. But yeah. Because, you see, people who witness war crimes and participate in war crimes have a way of, well, not doing so good later on. Just as, for instance, just a little for instance, we had our 1,000th execution overnight. 1,000 human beings killed, murdered. Homicide is homicide, after all. in my name, in your name, in our name, we the people, in North Carolina. Guy, and look, his crime was heinous. His crime was disgusting. His crime was awful. I pointed the story out to Agnes, and she saw what he had done, a double murderer. And she said, good, kill him. But you see, and this matters. This guy was a Vietnam vet. This guy saw action in Vietnam. This guy was there when his country called, and yet his country put him to death. And his lawyer said, and it's very true, his lawyer said, America is neither safer nor more moral for having killed him. And have you, and something, something jumped out at me. I've seen several photographs lately of the death gurney that they use in these lethal injection murders. And I gotta wonder how it plays with the morally bankrupt, ethically dead right to life movement. Because just because it's not standing vertically doesn't mean it's not a crucifix. They lay the guy down, the victim. He's a victim. He is being killed, whether it be in the name of the state or anyone else. He is a victim of murder. The premeditated killing of another human being. Murder. They bring him into the death chamber, and they strap him to a vertical... The gurney. And his left arm is stretched out, and his right arm is stretched out, and supported by supports. And it is a crucifix. Welcome to Rome. How many hundreds have we crucified in that manner? Have you ever noticed it? It just jumped up and slapped me in the face. We are so far gone, we've gotten into the crucifixion business. Holy Jesus. We've got every, and you know, this dude, he had people at the foot of the cross, just like Jesus had people at the foot of the cross. They did everything but wager for his raiment. The last thing Jesus asked for was a drink. The last thing this man had was a little bit of Pepsi. Are you up for that? Now, I'm speaking to liberals, progressives, Democrats, you know, decent people. Can you stomach that? A man, the 1,000th human being since capital punishment was reauthorized by the Supreme Court of the United States, the 1,000th human being to be put to death in your name and mine, was crucified. What's that Christmas carol say? Fall on your knees? Might want to think about it. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you, and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards. But will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
That my so-called liberalism grates mightily on the nerves of the little lurking monkey right-wing nuts who inhabit the tall grass at the periphery of this program. But the fact of the matter is, we know all the reasons for not doing the death penalty. We know that it doesn't serve as a deterrent. We know that vengeance is no good excuse for murder, or else we'd still have dueling in this country. Yes, Agnes, we know you're for it, dear. But moreover, what good purpose does it serve? There was a great list last night, I believe. Was it on the Colbert Report? Not one industrialized Western nation still participates in executions, with the exception of us, the U.S. We are, however, right in line with China, Iran, and Togo. Do the do the right wing, and, you know, the death penalty is joyfully espoused by the religion industry right. You know, the Falwells, the Robertsons. Hell, if you gave Pat Robertson a half a chance and an M16, he'd get in his little rubber ducky raft and start paddling for all he was worth for Venezuela to take out Hugo Chavez, whose low-income oil program, by the way, has begun kicking in. You know, boots on the ground Christianity. And of course, it's worth recalling. And I hope I don't get in under anybody's skin with this. I really don't want Hillary Clinton to run for president in 08. No, it's not because I'm a sexist, because I'm not. I'm just not. 8 years of Clinton hating. I mean, you thought the Swift boat was bad? You thought the Swift boating of John Kerry was sickening and disgusting? Wait till you see what they've got waiting for Hillary. Okay? But anyway, the guy I've been keeping an eye on is Mark Warner, soon-to-be outgoing governor of Virginia. And we had a chance earlier to pass that 1,000th guy murdered in the name of the United States or one of the several states thereof milestone. We had a chance for that to happen earlier in the week. The victim of the moment was a Virginia inmate by the name of Robin Lovett, who may well have been guilty. But we just don't know because the state of Virginia threw out all of his DNA evidence so that it couldn't be tested to determine whether or not he was guilty. So that bought a little bit of credibility for Mark Warner with me in the 2008 presidential sweepstakes. Not willing to kill people on bogus evidence. See, as opposed to, say, George Bush, who is more than happy to kill people on bogus evidence, or no evidence at all. On George Bush's watch in Texas, they offed people with brain damage. Last time we had that going down in an industrialized nation. Now, see, Mavis, he's going to call George Bush a Nazi in a minute, and that just makes me crazy. Yeah, but the last time, executing the mentally handicapped. That was high on the gypsies, gay people, Jews. That was, you know, they were all in the same boxcar in Nazi Germany. George Bush, however, he missed that day in history class. Had a crushing hangover from the beer bust when they were branding all those Deke pledges at Yale, maybe. But yeah, that's the last. And there's Carla Faye Tucker. We all remember Carla Faye Tucker. George Bush giggled about killing her. Can you imagine? It really happened. He sat there, I'll bet you, yeah, please don't kill me. He did that. He did that. So Mark Warner, governor of Virginia, refused to participate in the murder of a person whose ultimate, absolute, beyond a shadow of a doubt, guilt could not be established. And oh my God, you should have read some of it. The pro-death crowd was absolutely furious. And of course, if Mark Warner does run in 08, like I hope he does, this will be part of his swift boating. Because while I say that I'm just not up for the swift boating they've got out there for Hillary, bear in mind, they've got a swift boat out there waiting for whomever runs on the Democratic ticket. They've got a swift boat waiting for Wesley Clark. They've got a swift boat waiting for Mark Warner. They've got a swift boat waiting for Evan Bayh, for Hillary Clinton, you name it. Tom Vilsack, the governor of Montana. They got a swift boat waiting for him too. Because it doesn't have to be factual. For instance, Mark Warner refused to have executed a man for whom the evidence had been destroyed, creating a questionable status as to his guilt. Well, what I just did was something that we Democrats have a problem with. We like to explain how things really are. Now, in Republican world, by the time for the swift boating of Mark Warner, it'll be Mark Warner's soft on crime. You've heard it all before, and you'll hear it again. Mark Warner would not enforce the laws of the state of Virginia and refuse to carry out an execution against a heinous murderer. That's the way they are. I was proud of Mark Warner. It was another little, yeah, I can support this guy. None of them are going to be, no candidate's going to be perfect. I hope he does run, though. Because he is such a glaring difference from all the other sleaze and scum that the Republicans will put up. And in sleaze and scum, I include Rudy Giuliani, I include John McCain. Okay? I include them all. They're all. So good for Mark Warner. Let's go to the phones. Ben's with us. Hey, Ben, you're head on.
Hey there.
How you doing?
Just fine. You know, I'm from the great state of Illinois.
Yes.
Where we found out something very interesting about the people we had on death row.
A lot of them weren't guilty.
Most of them.
Most of them, really?
Not just a lot of them. But when we examined, very carefully, they examined, 70-some cases, and there was significant problems with at least 50 of those convictions.
Well, but, you know, you had a state government up there that was at least willing to do something about it. Now,
we had a governor who had nothing else to lose. And a Republican, I'll say that.
Who was that?
That was Ryan.
Yeah.
You know, he was going down for scandals that occurred while he was Secretary of State. Okay?
Yeah.
And, where people were paying money to get driver's licenses. Things like that.
Well, you know, you've studied some mathematics in your time, Ben. If a majority of the people on death row in Illinois aren't guilty, does that statistically speak to the validity of the convictions of people in the other 49 states or whatever number that have a death row still?
Strictly speaking, no, because the processes are different, the systems are different. But you know what? I can't bring myself to believe that the prosecutors are all that different. I can't bring myself to believe that the police are all that different. I can't bring myself to believe that juries are all that different in the other 50 states. And so, statistically speaking, I would say it is a certainty that in 1,000 people put to death, we've put to death at least 100 that didn't do it.
And yet there are those out there who will say, well, you know, that's pretty good odds. 9 out of 10 were guilty.
Well, okay, unless you're the 10th person,
unless,
which you might be.
Yeah, unless it's your ox getting gored. Or unless you happen to be charged in, say, Alabama or Mississippi or Texas, where they don't care whether you even have an adequate legal defense or not.
Oh, yeah, in Texas it's perfectly okay if they just find a drunk lawyer on Skid Row and set him next to you, you know, passed out drunk the whole time.
And you're not kidding.
And I'm not kidding. There was actually a case like that, and they put that person to death.
And, of course, you know, down south, if you're charged with a capital offense, it's been proven time and again statistically, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, whatever, if you're black, you're dead.
Well, it's
institutionalized lynching, isn't it?
It is a lot like lynching. You have a problem where you've got elected attorney general, and you've got elected sheriff, and you've got elected judges in many places, And when it gets really close to election time, it, and there's like some high profile murder, like some pretty young blonde cheerleader gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important to find someone to send up for that.
Yeah, nothing to push the ticket along like a little blood and death.
Well, that's right, and you could say, well, we got that there dastardly black man out of a crack house, and we charged him with the murder, and we sentenced him to death. You know?
I wish what you're saying, that's not parody, that's not satire, that's Southern reality.
That's exactly how it works. And, people are routinely, in Chicago and other places where there's, any number of, minority people, there's an offense for driving called DWB, driving while black.
Exactly. And we finally took a little step into the 20th century a few months or maybe a year or so ago, Ben, when we decided that we weren't going to bump off the mentally retarded anymore. That you remember that Supreme Court decision.
Yes, I do. So, of course, we are doing our very best to retest everyone now who is on death row to prove that they're not mentally retarded.
Right. The goal is not to stop killing people that we ought not. The goal is to try to figure out a way that we can kill them anyway.
Correct.
And you know, of course, who was, if I'm not mistaken, who was very, very angry in his dissent about that case.
No, I don't.
Oh, that would be Fat Tony Scalia.
Oh,
The Opus Dei guy.
I really kind of thought that these Roman Catholics were supposed to, like, oppose the death penalty.
Not him. No, if Tony could be there, he'd be the one that pushed the plunger. It's kind of Roman of him, isn't it?
Well, actually, given that he's a judge presiding over these cases, in technical point of fact, he is the one who pushes the plunger.
I'm glad you see it my way. But the thing is, it wasn't just Tony Scalia, though. His battle cry was picked up and carried around by Hannity and O'Reilly and Limbaugh. And how could you stand, Ben? And sometimes, in many ways, you're a far more rational individual than I. How could you stand to be part of a group whose focus was on killing living beings, whether they be Iraqi civilians or American soldiers or people of questionable guilt sitting on death row? How could you stand day in and day out to be affiliated with those kind of people?
Well, I don't know, but in human history we see that a lot. The SA, for example, and the SS.
Sure.
That followed them. They were all about killing people, and they seemed to find a whole bunch of camaraderie and esprit de corps in the doing of it.
So, are we as liberals and progressives? Are we just behind? Are we just behind times, or are we ahead of the game?
I hope we're ahead of the game, but we have to keep from being the next target of these people in order to win it.
I think you're right. Appreciate the call, Ben.
You take care, sir.
Take it easy now.
Bye bye.
And a quick break. We've got the Cup of Joe report for you coming up. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. If the Republicans have problems with their base, so too do the Democrats have with theirs, but for different reasons. Where the Republican base is focused on a few specific issues around the general anti-American theme, Democrats are splintered into hundreds of different groups, each with a pet issue which, in their mind, is the most important issue in the world. And God forbid that someone should use the wrong phrase or even present the appearance of disagreement. This doesn't mean to say that these issues aren't important. Human rights, the environment, free and fair elections, these are all very high priority and need to be dealt with on a massive scale. But if the human rights people are fighting with the environmentalists who are fighting with the election reform people, it just makes things easier for the right wing to use divide and conquer tactics. But even so, all the petty bickering that goes on within the liberal movement could be wiped out if the leadership of the Democratic Party exhibited any signs of, well, leadership. All too many at the top of the party are more interested in keeping their positions than they are in the welfare of the nation or of the party. And there are still those who vainly cling to the idea that if they cooperate with the Republicans will return the favor. After 25 years of bad treatment, you'd think they'd have learned by now. I wish I could say that things will get better in the immediate future, but you'll forgive me if I'm skeptical. Remember, like Will Rogers, I don't belong to an organized political party. I'm a Democrat. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask?
You know, I love it when my president tells me to put food on my family. I just, you know, when he tells me to do that, I immediately, you know, we start having a food fight. So,
do you really?
Do you and your kids
start from like Twinkies and stuff at each other?
No, more like, you know, mashed potatoes and stuff.
Oh,
and
right, stuff right.
Sticks,
pull on.
Sticks
oh, right
to the
on.
Wall, you know. But anyway, you know, and that should be a top story all by itself. You know? How did we elect such a moron?
We try to answer that and many more questions this week and last week on Fourth Estate Radio. I'm John Fox, one of your co-hosts. Bruce Birch will join me on Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, every week, to try and strip the pants off the mainstream media. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Now I will tell you what I've done for you. 50,000 tears I've cried, screaming, deceiving, and bleeding.
Okay, a little more than halfway done. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number's 877, the number 4. Head On, that's 877-443-2366 and 304-658-3333. Email? Email's good. Bob at headonradio.com. Agnes got her first hate mail the other day, today, last night, whatever. Got her first hate mail to Agnes at headonradio.com. And, well, I explained to her that that's part of the fun here. Yes, dear.
I'm now an abomination unto God.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're an abomination unto God.
Yes.
Congratulations. We'll have to get you your abomination medal.
And thank you for the person who sent it from Yahoo.com.
Well, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Alrighty then. Let's see. Well, let's stay with the theme. We've been talking about capital punishment a little bit. And the guy, of course, who was absolutely most enamored of state-sponsored death, yeah, which is, of course, a form of state-sponsored terrorism, is, at least on the high court, is Tony Scalia. Sick rat that he is. And it bears mentioning that there's a guy, well, and remember, the new Chief Justice, he likes it too. One of these days, I would like to hear a cogent explanation, because this love for death, when you get it from Scalia, this love for death is couched in terms of, well, states may certainly do that sort of thing if they choose to do so within the constitutional framework, and pretends to divorce himself from morality. Well, he doesn't pretend. He is divorced from morality. And, you know, if you're hearing that in the background, I can... We have a... I don't know why ISIS is so upset, but we have an upset, very loud cat, so I apologize for that. At any rate, on the way, you know, on the way up is Sammy Bad Breath. Sammy Bad Breath Melito. And Sammy Bad Breath, he loves death, too. For the very same reasons. Well, the Constitution doesn't say you can't. The framers of the Constitution. I'm a strict destructionist, and the framers of the Constitution could have said no one shall be put to death, and they got everybody did the death penalty at the time the Constitution was enacted. Britain did it. France did. Oh my God, France did it with true joie de vivre. If not joie de vivre, then certainly joie de mort. I mean, the French Revolution. Robespierre, that whole thing. Everybody did it back then. But to sit there and say, well, you know, the Constitution... No. See, the Constitution does take it into account in terms of cruel and unusual punishment. Cruel and unusual punishment. When the entire civilized world has given up the death penalty, and we're the only industrialized nation that is still into it, then it's unusual, isn't it? Isn't it? But of course, you know already the response would be. Well, see, that's God. I hate right wingers. That's relying on international law like Justice Ginsburg wants to do. She wants to just make our whole country follow the laws of Luxembourg. And I'm sure you know some people like that. God knows I do. But honest to God, when the entire world has, the entire civilized world, I'm not talking about Zambia, Namibia, Togo, Chad, Syria, Iran, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, our buddies, Kuwait, China, they haven't given up on it, and we're philosophically in bed with them, and it's a little bit disturbing. But no, when the civilized world has given up on it, then it becomes an unusual practice, doesn't it? Of course it does. And on his way to the Supreme Court, unless he is stopped, Sammy Bad Breath, who loves it, revels in it, feasts on it, would drink human blood if he got half a chance. If he knew, I mean, come on. When we're talking about a Clarence Thomas or an Alito or a John Roberts, or a Scalia. Think about the way that they're constituted. If you could say, look, nobody will ever know. It'll just be between you and whatever. Here, here's a cup of human blood. Want to drink some? You know, in your heart and in your soul, you know that every one of those, Thomas, Roberts, Rehnquist, well, he's dead now, Thomas, Roberts, Scalia, Alito, they'd say, yeah, give me, can I have a straw? Because that's how sick and twisted and monstrous they are. Because they prove it by virtue of the fact that they can sit back and go, ah, kill another one. Oh, what, he was born with brain damage? Kill him anyway. Kill him anyway, sure, why not? And well, this came out of the Washington Post a couple of days ago. We're finding out so much more about Sammy Bad Breath. Sammy Bad Breath did work for the Justice Department that point to the idea that immigrants who enter the U.S. illegally and foreigners living outside their countries are not entitled to the constitutional rights afforded to Americans. So just because they happen to be here doesn't mean we can't torture them. You know, that's in line with that whole Alberto Torquemada González opinion that the Geneva Conventions are quaint and out of date. Let's go to the phones. Peter's with us. Hey, Peter, you're head on. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing this evening?
I'm getting sadder and sadder. Friday, you know, we're on the way to the weekend.
Well, it is on the way to the weekend, but an abomination unto God?
Agnes is an abomination unto God.
How did she attain that status? I'm only a thorn in his side.
It was the other night when we were discussing women's reproductive rights. And she referred to the people who wanted to, joined in referring to the people who wanted to control other women's wombs.
I see. So do, okay, well, I now know what I have to do to achieve that status. You know, I was so shocked.
Yeah,
I could understand.
Oh, I've been an abomination unto God for years.
But Agnes, that just lit up all my light. I couldn't believe it. You talked about so many things tonight. The thing about execution, you know, you're talking about having everything but, what, throwing dice over his arraignment?
Yeah.
Remember, having been in jail, which I let them be known the other night, tell you this, you know, in effect, they were doing that, too. You know, when a prisoner is either released or goes to his death or whatever, all the inmates battle over his possessions. So there was no doubt dice thrown for his arraignments, too. The whole thing's pretty evil.
I didn't even think about that, Peter.
Well, you know, it can only be pulled off by someone who is soulless, and it brings me to Bush. You know, that man, you know, one of the wonderful things about recovering from drug addiction and alcoholism is you get your soul back. You get your sense of humor back. You get your mind back. You get your sensitivity back. He has none of those things. He's a vacuous walking automaton.
Right. What do they call? What's the term, Peter? Dry drunk.
Well, yes, dry drunk. And yeah, I never really understood that phrase. It doesn't really make much sense. Dry drunk.
Well, what I think it means, the theory behind it is that if you have a substance problem and you manage to quit it, but you don't get some sort of support and help along the way, that the things you talked about getting back, your soul, your perspective, all of that, doesn't happen.
Well, it hasn't happened for him. You can see it. One of the things you would get back then is your sense of humor. Look at the way he laughs. and shooting birds at people.
Well, that's, yeah.
Leader of the free world. This man is a hateful, evil little man.
Yes, he is. And but yet you've still got people like Peggy Noonan out there, the woman who wrote the Shining City on the Hill speech for Ronald Reagan, and she just thinks he's just divine. Really, divine.
Well, now that just reminds me of Laura Bush. She's doing a bright and beautiful this year, isn't she?
Oh, she is. Oh, and see, you're so good at this. You opened another door for me. You know the war on the war on Christmas, right, Peter?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Kill them jingle bells. Have them around here.
Exactly. Turns out that the White House, I guess the White House is going to be on Bill O'Reilly's enemies list pretty soon. Because White House social secretary today had a conference or a speech or a discussion about the holiday season at the White House.
Yeah.
The holiday season.
Oh, well, no. Oh, I didn't get the full implication. Yeah. He didn't say that. No, he didn't.
Yeah. Oh, yes, she did. and it's all over the whitehouse.gov. Holiday, holiday, holiday. You can hardly find the word Christmas there. They must hate Jesus, too.
Well, now, isn't that interesting? I bet you they change it tomorrow. You know, that's what they did on the O'Reilly site. You know, right. And the next day it turned into Christmas. You know, if the biggest thing they have to talk about is dead trees, for crying out loud. You know, the stores, you know, how many religions have trees? I mean, is there like a Kwanzaa tree?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. I know there's a Christmas tree, but if there's more than one kind of dead tree at this time of year, why not have stores just advertise, we have Christmas trees and Kwanzaa trees, and let's just, you know.
I had some Jewish friends once, Peter, who referred to their, made passing reference, and I think it was sardonic at best, to their Hanukkah bush.
Ah. Well, there could be bushes, too, and you could have them in little sections, you know? And people could just pick out the tree that was of the same religion they were, and, you know, everybody would be happy.
Well, I've got a screenshot here. Discuss holidays at the White House. Leah Berman, Special Assistant to the President and White House Social Secretary, is discussing the holidays at the White House now.
Uh-huh.
So, and it's all over the place. The theme, and of course we had the soundbite from Laura Bush saying "Happy Holidays." Said it twice, one more, and she would have been just like Saint Peter.
Good Lord! Well, you know this theft of Christmas thing goes all the way back to the John Birch Society. That was I was looking at this earlier. It was in 1959 the John Birch Society got all torqued up about when they started saying Xmas.
Right.
Taking Christ, and it's been raging ever since then.
Absolutely, and the best part of that, Peter, is that most of these, pardon me, morons.
Me too. I have to. You know, I actually looked up the seven words you can't say on the radio and the internet tonight,
mm-hmm.
before I called.
But the Birchers getting all twisted about, you know, and I remember it. Oh my heavens, I remember it growing up down south. I remember it they're taking Christ out of Christmas.
Yes.
What they don't realize is that X was the sort of secret lodge symbol for Christ for the early church, because it is Chi. It's the Greek letter Chi.
I never realized that, Bob. You are so educational, dude.
And that Chi is the first letter in Christos.
I didn't realize.
That's why, you know, and it's not just because the apostles were fishermen and I shall make you fishers of men. The reason they use that fish symbol is because that crossing at the tail of the fish is also the letter Chi.
That's what, okay, so that's it. It blends in with the fish symbol then.
And Xmas is actually an older representation of Christmas than the word Christmas is.
Ah. Well, you know, and too, the John Birch Society tied in with the Christ out of Christmas thing. It was the soul, what was it, the godless UN is
yes.
trying to substitute for Christ. They're trying to substitute, what was it, world love or...
Well, I had, and they just recycle this stuff, Peter.
Over and over.
You know, I had this thing from the right-wing PR firm a couple of nights ago saying that Christmas was being replaced by the celebration of human rights as sponsored by the UN.
That's almost, yes, almost word for word, yes. Nothing's new, and nobody wants to take Christmas, for crying out loud. It would ruin the retail stores.
Yeah, what kind of a sad and sorry economic system pins its entire retail hopes on the sales from a 30-day period?
Ah.
You know, would Adam Smith countenance that? That's not capitalism. That's desperation.
Yes, it is. You know, you're talking to earlier tonight about Hillary, and you know, I admire her, but God, I hope she doesn't run. She is so hated in the South.
Yes.
And
Hitlery, carpetbagger,
and on and on and on. Even from pulpits today, you will occasionally hear some reference to Hillary. I've heard it within the last 6 months from a pulpit that some sort of blended in remark. I can't remember how it went, but it just, I think they hate her more than they did Bill.
Oh, they always have, because she, especially as compared with the likes of, you know, Babs Bush, lovely portrait on the Quaker Oats carton, I think.
Oh, my God.
Or Nancy Reagan or Pat Nixon. And again, it ties into that whole weird little core of hate that they maintain. Republicans and right-wingers despise strong women. And she was as strong as they had ever run across, and was not afraid to bite back. Yeah. And they hate her, and in large part they hate her because they fear her.
It's interesting how Bill Clinton, you know, intelligent, articulate, educated. His wife has the same attribute, intelligent and powerful, wanting to. And look at George Bush with his vacuous wife, Laura.
Well, you know, I mean, that's, you know, you just talked about, you know, what you get back. Yeah, my wife is making faces at me. There are times that she looks like she got hosed down with that chemical that Jack Nicholson used as the Joker in Batman. What was it, Smilene or Smilex?
Oh, yeah.
You know, she looks like the love child of the Joker. But if you read up on Laura, you find out that she was, when she was at studying library science at Southern Methodist University, she was the go-to girl for a nice dime bag.
You're kidding me.
No.
Now, ain't that a perfect match made in heaven?
Well, not quite heaven. Peter, we got to roll on. Have yourself a great weekend.
You too, buddy.
Take care. And our top of the hour break. And when we come back, heaven only knows where we'll go. That's why this is head on. There's always something coming at you. Full speed. I'm Bob.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8th, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
What makes me confident?
sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Hold on to me. Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Welcome back. I have been remiss in this Friday night edition of Head On in thanking those listeners who are joining us from Democratic Underground, as well as from the Tom Hartman chat room. We certainly do enjoy having you guys on board and appreciate your participation, even if it is in the simple sharing of your time. And I don't mind repeating this again and again and again. When I say the simple sharing of your time, there's nothing simple in that. You're not going to have any more of it, and you're choosing to share some of it with me, as I'm choosing to share it with you. And I thank you. And more than thanking you, we thank you. Agnes and I do. And it makes you feel pretty good, really. It's a way to cut into the isolation, the forced isolation that the Bush administration, the right wingers, try to create, you know, by their attempt to, well, there's a red America and there's a blue America. No, there's not. No, there's not. For the most part, we're all America. Now, I discount because I just can't stand to think of them as being fellow citizens. I discount the hardcores of the religion industry and the hardcore Bush supporters. They'll be, you know, time will separate them out like the wind does the chaff from the wheat. Now, a little more, just to remind you, a little more about Sammy Bad Breath. This past, Wednesday, the 30th, our prayer meeting night here at Head On, the Justice Department released a memo, 17 pages, authored by Sammy Bad Breath Alito, and it was written back when he was a lawyer, Justice Department lawyer for the Reagan administration. And in very cold and calculated terms, he laid out in those 17 pages exactly how he would go about legally and politically overturning Roe v. Wade. Honest to God, sometimes I feel a little bit silly talking about Roe v. Wade because I am not a female by any stretch of the imagination. But, and, you know, I don't have a stake in the Roe v. Wade debate. Because I'm uterus free. But I've got three daughters. My wife. My friends who are female. And unlike a Republican male, I don't feel that there is some sort of inherent superiority of me by virtue of a particular chromosome over more than half of the population because of their chromosomal constitution. The stuff that we hear coming out of the right and the Republicans is the same stuff you heard as a child on the playground in, you know, first, second, third, fourth grade before you figured out that the other half of the species was actually kinda interesting. You know, boys are better than girls. No,
girls are better than boys. Girls rule, boys drool.
And no, we don't.
Whack, you know.
That's Republican philosophy. The philosophy of the Republican Party is nothing short of juvenile, hysterical, kicking up the dirt, schoolyard shenanigans. From start to finish. Girls are better than boys. Whites are better than blacks, straights are better than gays. The entire political philosophy of the Republican Party is centered around hierarchy. It's centered around being able to declare who is more than or better than someone else. It's the old quote that Dear Leader made when he was meeting with his multi-million-dollar pals, and he stood up there and said, "Some people call you the haves and the half-mores. I call you my base." It's all hierarchy, and 99% of it is artificial. You know, a millionaire has the same six or so pints of blood in him that a pauper does. Has the same number of chromosome pairs. You know, 10 fingers, 10 toes, you know, if you're lucky. And yet, the Sneetches have been mentioned on this program from time to time. That wonderful old Dr. Seuss story of haves and have-nots. Republican political philosophy is Sneetchism. The Sneetches with stars on their bellies and the other Sneetches with no stars upon theirs. Yes, dear?
Look, I don't understand the women, okay?
Which ones?
The womb Nazis.
Okay.
But the guys, honestly, guys, if you want a womb, if you really want to give birth, we'll gladly let you do it. Take a watermelon, pull your lip over top of it, and see how far you get. So, you know, we're willing to share.
Can we start with a cantaloupe, honey?
No, watermelon. And we're willing to share.
Can it be one of the little... Never mind.
But I don't understand another woman wanting to rule over another woman's body. That's sick, twisted, and quite honestly, it gives the female gender a bad name.
Well, there are always enablers, dear. There are always enablers. And just as, just as with an addiction issue, you know, wherever there is an addict, be he, heroin, cocaine, crack, booze, wherever there is an addict, there is an enabler of that addiction. And the women, supposedly a woman runs this West Virginians for Life. That woman would never have the nerve to even get anywhere near this program. But just because they are enablers. They are, I hesitate to say, because I don't even want to engage in something that would appear sexist with regard to those women. But they are not strong enough in themselves to be themselves. They cannot define themselves outside of the control that they have to cede to a male. Does that make any sense, dear?
Okay.
Does it? I mean, does that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And just so you don't appear sexist, I'm a female. I'm telling you.
Yes, you are.
You all are sick and twisted. Period. There's no doubt about it. You don't make choices for other people. You keep your nose in your own business, and everybody gets along.
Well, they won't even make choices for themselves. They cede that to a male. How on earth can we give them any credibility in their argument that other women should cede their ability to choose?
You know, the last time I checked, when you get married, you are equal partners. You're not a servant. You're not subservient. You're partners. And that's just the way it goes. And if it doesn't go that way, well, you know, that's what divorce is for. But of course, since, you know, I'm an abomination to God, might as well go ahead and throw my hat right into the ring.
Sure, why not? So, those people who want to cede control of their personal sovereignty. You know, their bodies, and it's not just their bodies, it's their minds, it's their consciences, and their thoughts. The people that would cede control of that are the same people that were so angry about Harriet Myers because she just wasn't hateful enough. Now, Harriet, we hardly knew ye. I didn't get a chance to. I mean, I figure out, George Bush nominated, probably a freak. But we never got a chance to find out. With Alito, we're getting a chance to find out. Now this, and everybody gave Johnny Robbs a pass on this, John Roberts. But he was asked, are you now or have you ever been a member of the Federalist Society? And just like St. Peter, no, not me. What society? The guy sat on the board and blatantly lied. Just lied. And now Sammy Bad Breath is doing the same thing. Now, he is an alumnus of dear old Princeton University. You know, the same university that gave us James Madison and Aaron Burr. And there's an organization at Princeton called Concerned Alumni of Princeton. Have you always ever noticed that if you ever see a concerned anything, any organization that begins with concerned, it's going to be a right-wing organization? The right wing is concerned. They're concerned. Concerned alumni of Princeton. And that group just walks around with the foam dripping from their fangs. Really rabidly right-wing, icky, sort of, bleh. It's an alumni group. It's an alumni group. And on this Senate questionnaire, you know, the one that they sent back to Harriet for her to redo? Dear God. He filled his out, and he said that he has no recollection.
Well, I have no recollection of whether or not I remember that I recall.
He has no recollection of being a member of Concerned Alumni of Princeton.
Well,
it's not quite true that he has no recollection. Because back in 1985, when he was filling out that job application in the Justice Department, where he said that he was just laying out theory for his employer, you know, the one where the Reagan administration should be able to sew up the womb of every woman while she's pregnant and prevent her from getting an abortion. Well, on that same 1985 job application, he was proud of being a member of Concerned Alumni of Princeton. Oh, he was proud of it.
And, you know, what were the Concerned Alumni of Princeton concerned about?
They were concerned about, here we go again, same crap, different day. They were concerned about diversity at Princeton University.
Well, you know, those people. We can't let those people into Princeton.
Whether those people happen to be black, Jewish, Muslim, female. Those people. And they oppose the inclusion of racial minorities, women, and but supported affirmative action for athletes, legacies, and right-wing professors.
Well, you can let that one in. He runs really fast.
You know how it is. It's so hot over there. They run faster. It's because of the Lions. Oh, my God. But he boasted about being a member of Concerned Alumni of Princeton. And then down the memory hole, just like Johnny Robbs and his membership in the Federalist Society. Just like you can't, you could waterboard Trent Lott and he would not admit to being a member of the white, I'll be damned, Concerned Citizens Committee. But he was. And of course, you know, that organization, Concerned Caucasian Citizens, the CCC or whatever it was, that was just a follow-up. That was the Klan without the sheets and pillowcases, okay? So Alito is...
I hate it when that Bob starts calling names. I hate it.
Alito is a liar. Alito is just a liar. Well, how would you rule on Roe v. Wade?
I don't know. Liar.
Well, how do you feel about a woman's right to choose?
I don't know. Liar.
Well, how do you feel about police officers feeling up undressed little 10-year-old girls in warrantless strip searches?
I don't know. Liar. Well, how about, how do you feel about corporations that would like to discriminate against potential employees based on race? Well, you know, I don't, liar. Time after time after time, this hateful freak has ruled in writing and has signed those writings. He despises women for wanting to empower themselves enough to stand up to the likes of misogynistic thugs like him. And I don't understand it. What is it in the male right-wing psyche that makes them hate women so much? I will not presuppose, if there's anybody in the gay community listening to this, just turn away from it. I dig women. I like the way they look. I like the way they sound. Well, when they're not really mad at me. I like being around them. I'm not afraid of them. Often. I don't get it. I referenced the schoolyard earlier. What did the Three Stooges... The Three Stooges had an organization. The He-Man Woman Haters Club. If you're a fan of the Three Stooges. Yeah, they were members of the He-Man Woman Haters Club. And the Little Rascals... No girls allowed.
It was the Little Rascals that had the He-Man.
No. That was the Three Stooges. They had a separate organization. I think it was Concerned Alumni of Princeton. How antiquated are these weird little freaks? And if there are members of the Republican Party who don't feel that way about women, why in God's name do you continue to associate with people who do? Well, it's because of Hillary. Oh! I don't get it. I'm completely... Unless it is systemic, and unless, in fact, it is hardwired into their being. I don't think it is. Because then I would have as much a chance of being a woman hater like a Republican as any Republican does. It's not hardwired in. It's enculturated. These are the same people who stood up in bold defense of the Southern Baptist Convention a couple of years ago, 5-6 years ago maybe, when they declared that that verse in Flip-Floppians that says women submit to your husband was a, you know, the Southern Baptist Church announced that it was the imprint for the model marriage. And one of the freaks from the Grand Wizard or whatever the Southern Baptist Convention came out and said, well, of course that's the way a Christ-centered marriage should be. My wife asked me for permission before she went and got a job. Oh, you see, when you want to control a woman's innards, when you want to do something like that. In essence, what you're telling the world is that you despise that line about we hold these truths to be self-evident that all... Oh, well, I'm sorry, it's men. All men are created equal. That they, the men, are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Is it only the guys? Is that the ultimate meaning of original constructionism? That we hear about from the right wing so much when they're talking about judges? Is that the real meaning that since it says all men are created equal, that is by golly what the framers meant? Yes, 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 I know that's the Declaration of Independence. But one of these days, I'm going to sort it out and I'm going to get down to root level with it. And I'm going to figure out why it is. You know, just because I like to know things, I don't fool myself into thinking that I'm going to change these bizarre people. But I'm going to figure out why it is that these men despise women. You know, Sammy Bad Breath has a pretty little Stepford wife and a couple of children of the corn. And Johnny Robbs, I watched his confirmation hearings, and I thought that was his wife with the pearls and the little suit sitting behind him. I thought she was going to give birth to a bouncing baby aneurysm. It's almost like it would take some sort of cultural exchange program or a special on TV and a full-color spread in National Geographic. Life in right-wing culture. Who they really are. And I don't get it. You know, I take all that happy stuff in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution very seriously. You know, more perfect union. Establish justice, tranquility, all of it. And part and parcel of every last little bit of that starts with the relationship that happens at the base bottom level of humanity, and that is the relationship between one person and the person they most care about. Are joined to. For better or worse, till death do you part. Whatever. And taking all that seriously and taking it to heart means that I can't run around thinking I'm better than somebody. Unless they prove it to me every day like the Republicans do. Oh, didn't mean to do that. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
thanks for sticking around. Great suggestion from one of the folks over at Democratic Underground. Abominations Are Us equals Radio Free West Virginia. We like to think of it that way. And that, my poor sainted mother, God rest her soul, would never have imagined that she was raising an abomination. Poor thing. Yes, dear.
That's not you, Bob. That's me.
No. You just got your Abomination Union card. I've been part of it for a while. Trust me. I wasn't on the air for 2 days before somebody called me Baghdad Bob, for God's sakes. And that was back in the previous incarnation. Well, let's bring it a little closer to home as we roll down toward the 10 o'clock hour. Well, at least here on the East Coast, not on the left. Now, if you go over to bradblog.com with any frequency, you will know that Brad is Brad Friedman, our friend, is among the foremost authorities, journalists, following election shenanigans in this country. If it has happened with electronic voting machines, Brad knows it, Brad has deconstructed it, and Brad can very, very, very plainly explain to you just exactly how it is that the idea of representative democracy is being destroyed in the United States. He's that good. But we do things a little more simply here close to home. We'll have them in the 2006 elections. We haven't been tormented with the Diebolden ES and S machines. But they're coming. I think Kanawha County opted for optical scan machines. I don't know what we're getting here in Fayette yet. I'm going to try to vote by paper ballot on an absentee basis. Just because, at least then I know I voted. Because all this business, well, you know, you do get a paper receipt. That proves nothing. As long as the source... it happened, I guess, yesterday in North Carolina. See, I said I was going to get closer to home, and here I go wandering again. North Carolina had something that Brad referred to as the Immaculate Certification. The state of North Carolina passed a law that said no electronic voting machines unless the source code is escrowed. By that, they meant that they wanted access to the so-called proprietary source code, the incredibly hackable proprietary source code, and that they weren't going to... No. Well, an appointee to the North Carolina Election Commission, who just happened to come from... That's right. Fill in the blank. Yeah. It was either ES&S and Diebold, you know, with thick, nasty, slimy sort of thing and creature in the water outside Moria, Lord of the Rings tentacles, way deep into the Bush administration. Certified the damn machines anyway. If you can believe. And you should. But back here closer to home, we don't do things like that. We just let the Bush administration's FBI dummy up the elections. This is an article from the Associated Press. Hear it? It's a real article. It's by my friend Lawrence Messina. And it has to do with some electioneering down in Logan County. Share this with you just for the fun of it. This is your FBI. Our FBI. Nah, who are we kidding? Put down the crack pipe, Bob. This is George Bush's FBI. And this is some shenanigans that were initially started by one of the Warner brothers or the Warner sister Dot. Casey or Chris or, it wasn't Monty because he was running for governor. Casey was U.S. attorney. And he gave his little Holly Smoot blessing to it. The FBI came into Logan County and put a guy on the ballot that was an informant. Yeah, they did that. And, hell, nobody knew it at the time. It's only just now coming to light. And this was a couple of years ago. A guy named Tom Esposito. He was running for the legislature. He'd been a mayor. He was a Democrat. He went out, issued press releases. He raised money, bought newspaper ads. He had those god-awful yard signs all over Logan County. And then a month before the May 2004 primary election, Thomas Esposito bailed out. No, I'm not going to run. I'm withdrawing my candidacy. Regardless of that, he still garnered a significant number of votes. 2,175 votes came in last among 10 candidates in the primary field. You know, the Democratic primary in Logan County is basically the general election. Because, for the most part, they don't allow Republicans to live much past birth down there. Well, I mean, they kind of do, but the Republicans still have to call themselves Democrats. Because, I mean, the Republican nomination for anything can be had in Logan County for a song. I mean, there doesn't even need to be a pint of Four Roses involved. Because no Republican is going to get elected. I mean, that's the way it's been for eons. You know, back when Adam and Eve were riding their dinosaur to church, people in Logan County were buying and selling votes. So the FBI caught Thomas Esposito up to, you know, engaging in what is basically the countywide pastime of Logan County, that is, you know, dirty electioneering. And they busted him. And they made a fink out of him, the stool pigeon. You know, an informant. And the FBI didn't tell anybody in Logan County what they were up to. God knows they didn't tell the people who voted for Thomas Esposito what they were up to. They ran a dummy candidate as part of an investigation. Then he withdrew his candidacy, and the FBI cried, no harm, no foul. This makes me sick. If Thomas Esposito was dirty, Thomas Esposito, make no mistake, deserved to be busted. In many ways, I hold political corruption up there at actually a higher level than I do, or at least on a co-equal basis with murder and rape. Because it is it's a murder, it's a rape of an entire history, of an entire political system. I joke about how they've been buying and selling vote. You know, if there were two people left in Logan County, each one would sell his vote to the other. I make jokes. But just as with Randy Duke Cunningham, I would not be the least bit bothered if Randy Duke Cunningham was...
Morning, Miss Cunningham!
...was charged with treason and dealt with accordingly. So, the political filth and corruption that went on in the 2004 election deserved to be dealt with if it was in fact real. Now, Casey Warner was in charge of it, and that man was nothing but one great big political walking political vendetta, so it's certainly open to question. But the upshot of it here, and I don't know if I'm conveying this quite as well as possibly I ought to, is that the FBI, the freaking Bureau of Investigation, came in and put a dummy candidate on the ballot, and engaged in vote fraud.
Sit down, you socialist.
They engaged in vote fraud. No different, absolutely no different than presenting a black voter with a ballpoint pen and a piece of waxed paper and telling them they had to sign their names and say, well, you couldn't write your name, you can't vote. There's no difference in that and what the FBI did in Logan County with Thomas Esposito. There's no difference in that and presenting a sharecropper with a Chinese restaurant menu written in Mandarin and saying, read that. I can't read that. Oh, you can't read, boy. Go home. You don't get to vote. It's the same damned thing. And the federal law enforcement agents were permitted to do it. And a federal judge, said, okay by me. Now, I don't know if Brad's listening tonight or not. But Brad, buddy, we don't have to worry about what they're going to do with the Diebold and the ES&S machines because we've got the FBI out dummying up elections. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. would be ashamed. This is Head On.
Shake your money maker, 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 and then
hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Treat me with understanding. Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
We're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Welcome back. About 11 minutes before the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. Damn. Weekend coming. But I'll be back Monday night. Same time. Same bat channel. You know the drill. Now, you should have all of the facts before you about this, this vote... vote-buying case. No, it's not really a vote-buying case. It's a case of election fraud perpetrated by the government of the United States of America. I mean, and this one isn't even close. I mean, this isn't the one where we can, you know, the right-wing nuts say that, you know, Bush won Florida. We say that Bush lost Florida, blah, blah, blah. You know, this isn't whether or not there were 3,000 recorded votes on electronic voting machines in Gahanna, Ohio, that votes for Bush when they only had 600 registered voters in total there. This isn't that. This is open and shut. This is a case where the federal government paid for an informant to run as a candidate for election when they already knew he was ineligible to hold office. He had signed a plea agreement in the past saying he never would run for office again. And they said, well, you will if you want to be part of this deal, son. Greg Campbell was the lawyer who argued that the government was knuckles deep in filth in this. Federal District Judge David Faber was the one who ruled that the government was free to engage in vote fraud, in election fraud, in dummied-up primaries. And I, you know, some people may get upset with me, but what I want to know, you know, David Faber, district judge, goes about in polite society. Oh, hi, how are you? Oh, so good to see you. How are you? Oh, yes, give me another one of those Lox vomit canapes. And what I want to know, he wrote in his ruling, allowing the that gave the government the power to do this again sometime, whenever they wish. You know, the horse is already out of the barn on what they've already done. But Faber said they can do it again and again and again by virtue of this ruling. It has been nearly impossible to prosecute corruption in Logan County because persons with knowledge of it are reluctant to testify against others in their community. Putting Esposito forward as a candidate may have been the only possible means to clean up the political process in Logan County. In essence, what Faber is saying is that he endorses a final solution for political corruption in Logan County, and we know where that phrase comes from, final solution. You're so damn desperate to do something about it, you will trample the laws and the constitution of both state and nation in order to achieve your goal. I submit to you that David Faber is as damned well crooked as anybody that is being charged in that sting operation, because he just took a great big pee all over the Constitution of the United States. He just leveled a full frontal attack on the rights of every registered voter in the state of West Virginia. And how long do you think it will be before this decision will make the rounds and other federal district judges will say, well, you see, they did this in West Virginia because they had a political corruption problem and it was almost impossible to get people to testify against others in their community. So there, go ahead, dummy up the election. Go ahead. Dummy it up. Put on a fake candidate. Put on a candidate that you know you're going to send to prison in a couple of months. It doesn't matter. This is goals. You know, this is the end justifying the means. And what I want to know, what I really want to know, is when you consider people like those 10 Marines that died and the 11 who were maimed in the explosion who are ostensibly fighting for freedom. When you consider people like that, David Faber, when you consider people like that, how can you, with a ruling like this, how can you even begin to think that you are upholding the oath you swore to the Constitution of the United States. You remember the movie The Princess Bride? You remember the dream that Princess Buttercup has where she's going to the wedding with Prince Humperdinck? And the old lady comes out of the crowd and looks at her and says, "Boo! Boo! Hiss! Boo!" Or from Mean Girls, "Boo, you whore." Do you ever wonder, I mean, when you see Faber writing things like this, do you ever wonder why people don't just hiss at him on the street, people who care about the Constitution? "Boo, you whore." Do you ever, why don't they? Why don't we? Now, I'm not advocating, no, of course not, no violence, but, you know, across, you know, why do people, you know, why would you let your child near a Constitution hater like that? Why would, if you saw him coming down the sidewalk, would you cross to the other side because you don't want to be near fascist filth like that? I would. So that's the show tonight. I got 2 days to calm down before we're back Monday night. Lucky me. The show, of course, tonight was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor, engineered by Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org manages the stream as well as the archives themselves. And the show is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.